three partners for like about 5 years.
Yeah.
Or so. You guys probably have the dates. Mark and Jen, in case you were wondering, currently living in Huntington Beach while they're on a 6 month or so home assignment. But they've been living in Hungary, and part of Mark's responsibility, I'm sure he'll share with you, is helping in crisis response with Reach Global, our mission agency under whom they serve. And so with the war situation that's been going on in the Ukraine, hands-on very much, getting people relocated, organized, da-da-da-da-da, they'll tell you about that. So we're glad to have them here and share with us. I'm going to pray and hand it over to you.
Thank you.
So Lord, we come to you this morning. We desire the life of Christ in us. And we are thankful. We are so grateful for what you have done to bring us into your family. And as we learn to live in your power and to worship you, that just spills over into the desire to see people of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation a part of your forever family in Jesus. So thank you for those that we can partner with to extend that message around the globe, even as we seek to do in our own community. We offer you this time. We thank you for Mark and Jen and their service. We pray that we would be enlightened, encouraged, and challenged this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dale.
Hello. Oh, boy. It's so good to be with you guys today. We have had the most wonderful week getting to know so many of you, and we just feel like a part of a family here. And that is the goal when we visit with a group or a church, you guys have so much kindness and love in your hearts, and you have blessed us so much. Staying at the Haven has been such a calming, wonderful experience, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us over the 5 years. Thank you for, you didn't even know us, but yet you're praying for us, and we felt those prayers in Hungary. Absolutely know that they were felt, and we just are so grateful. So thank you so much.
Yeah. It is absolutely a privilege to be with you guys this morning. This week we've had the opportunity to meet several of you, and it reminds us why we're doing this, the body of Christ, the relationships that we can develop and we get to experience and be blessed by. So I hope this morning, as we're able to be here with you physically, to be able to share a little bit about our ministry and our story, I hope it brings you encouragement. Yesterday, we kind of were on the fence, and we were almost back in the car and out of here because we had some things going on with our daughter.
Not because we're afraid of you.
Yeah. We heard rumors, and we just got too nervous. But no, our youngest daughter, we started, before we came, we've been working with some doctors. She's been beginning to have some seizures. We believe she has a condition of epilepsy, and we're just right in the beginning stages of getting to the neurologist, getting tests and things like that. And as we were preparing yesterday to be with you today, things kind of started to ramp up. And yesterday she had nearly 50,
small seizures.
And we were about ready to be in the car because she was on her way to the emergency room and everything. And God just brought a calm and a peace over that situation. She is with my parents. She's doing fine. We're just taking each hour, you know, in each day. So
I have my phone here just in case an emergency pops up that she has had a full-blown seizure and we may need to be on our way.
So if you have a prayer card, on the back is a picture of our family. Helena's the youngest. If you could be praying for her, just that God would give us wisdom, give her peace about this experience as we walk through this. We just see God's hand and blessing that we are here. We're not in Budapest today. She's 18 years old. She's started college, and so she's here in California so that we get to be here, that we can, you know,
yes,
be alongside her. So anyway, today I want to talk a little bit about our ministry. I want to share a piece of our story that I hope encourages you. And then I want to be able to share a little bit from John 15 as we wrap up. So like Jennifer was saying, we just thank you guys. Whether you knew it or not, whether you have known us or not, you have been a part of our ministry partners that have sent us overseas so that the gospel can be spread. many people are aware, some are not aware, that Europe is a mission field. What I can say is that the fastest movement there is probably the movement of unbelief. That faster than Christianity or Islam is this movement of unbelief. In the last century, Europe has had the slowest growth rate for Christianity. So when we think about going to Europe, when we think about being missionaries there, we're working with an area where the Bible and church is just irrelevant to most people's lives. So we have missionaries within the roles that we've connected with Reach Global. I am serving as a business manager. I'm serving as a crisis coordinator. It gives us the opportunity, in the way that God has called us uniquely, to serve other missionaries. And we do that as missionaries in the field. To try and give you a piece of what that looks like, one day I might be on a Zoom call working with a team about, several weeks ago, we're evacuating our missionary from Kyiv. Another day or week, I might spend 4 days working on financial statements for over 100 missionaries in our Europe division, trying to assist them with the financial aspects. So whether it's working with the marginalized, whether it's pastors teaching and planting churches, whether it's staff that is working in arts or sports ministries, in many different ways, God has called missionaries overseas so that churches and disciples would multiply and that there would be transformation across Europe. So we've been privileged to be called into the role to be supporting. I think about a situation of an army or a war, and we would never send anyone out to battle without healthy supply lines. The minute those supply lines are not there, the battle in the front line can't be won. And so we feel like God has equipped us to be a part of those supply lines. We're part of that chain. You guys are a part of that change, or that chain. So that, in a nutshell, working with crisis, working with business matters, projects, financing, things like that is much of my role. Jennifer?
For Mark, what I experience as his wife, he is the go-to guy for all of the European missionaries. When they have any financial need whatsoever, if there's a crisis in their life regarding the war in Ukraine and how that's affecting them individually on the field, they go to him, the team leaders go to him to try and figure things out, logistics. He has been given an incredible amount of wisdom from the Lord. It's a gift. And so he is in a role that God has absolutely placed him in. And through our story, you'll hear that. For me, I have done a number of jobs. The most important one was raising my 3 kids. The girls all moved with us when we moved to Hungary, and we had spent a year with our older 2 because they were in college at that point, or starting college, and so they stayed with us for that year. And so the transition process for kids going onto the field is difficult, especially if as teenagers, because you think, well, they're older and they can just adapt so easily. But the truth is a lot of times kids that are older, they're kind of set in their ways, you know, and they can think and they have brains and they know how to work things out, but it can actually be more difficult. So we had ups and downs, but it was an absolutely wonderful experience. And the fact that our girls were with us all the way as God brought us to the mission field, they said, oh, no, we are definitely going. Because at that point, they had the choice whether they wanted to go or they wanted to stay here in the States. So having them with us was wonderful. Helena, our youngest, the one that's having the seizures right now, she just started high school, so she started at ICSB, the International Christian School of Budapest, where I taught art and art appreciation all last school year. And most of that was virtual and online due to COVID. And then I substituted at the school, and I mentored women, and we were part of a church plant, which involved discipling and coming alongside the group and bringing others in and planning events for that. And hosting conferences and all that. So just getting involved in the community and building relationships is what my job was all about. Also, we were involved with the soccer team. Mark coached the girls' soccer team, and I was kind of team mom for the period of time at ICSB. That was a huge blessing because we're working with not just Christian missionary kids, but we're working with Hungarian national kids that aren't Christians, as well as Korean kids, we had Chinese kids, we had kids from all over the world that were coming there, maybe because their families were involved with the embassies, all different reasons, but that was a huge blessing. So now God has put on my heart and renewed, really it's renewed interest in hospitality ministry. That's something that I've always loved and felt that I've been gifted with. And now that my kids are all gone and into college, he has said, now is the time to do this. So what I am looking to do in the future, the near future, and we are working towards at this point, praying over daily, please pray with us about how either how you guys would want to be involved or just bringing people into our lives that will speak into it and show us God's path in this. But we want to open up a renewal center for missionaries and ministry workers across the globe. We are in Hungary right now. We believe it's supposed to be in France, so that would require a move on our part, which we're absolutely willing and open to do. We want to go wherever God calls us to serve. But it would be a place where pastors, missionaries, ministry workers could go and rest and renew and refresh in the Lord. And especially right now, from COVID and also the war in Ukraine, the attrition rate, the burnout rate for pastors and ministry workers is so high. It's so high. And those that are in Europe and close to Europe, having a place that is in Europe to go, not coming back to the States where you've got a long flight. And then when you get back, you just want to see friends and family and be with people that you know and love. But it doesn't give you much time to really refresh and renew in the Lord, where you need to get away from all of that. And that is something God put on my heart over 10 years ago at the beginning of our story when he called us to missions, which we'll talk about. So if you could be praying for us for that, that would be great. And just so you understand, Mark's role stays completely the same. He is the division business manager. I think Reach Global would kill us if he dropped that role and decided to do something else. So he will continue full-time in that role. And this is a new role for me, but he, of course, will be helping because he's such a good helper.
Yeah, I absolutely love what I get to do. But to watch Jennifer over these last 5 years, just work between the different ministries, whether it's English camps and serving there, whether she was part of leadership for a women's discipleship conference. In so many ways, she's found a place to step in, even though she's kind of in ministry part-time, but also managing our home. So to see this opportunity as you empty nest, a lot of you may have gone through that experience. We kind of feel like we're there now. We're starting to empty nest. And so the opportunity for Jennifer to invest herself full-time in something and to see God renew something he put on her heart years and years ago, and the timing of it. As I was supporting one of the missionaries I work with, he was talking to a pastor in Ukraine a week ago, and what he said was, the conversation was, the pastor was saying, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I'm done. And so knowing what impact this war in Ukraine is going to have for not just the weeks and months to come, but the years to come, and the fact that as Reach Global missionaries, we're there for the long run for people. And so the timing of this, for to have a renewal center, to be able to welcome in exactly pastors like that, to get away, maybe alone, maybe with his family, to a place of rest, to be able to experience the haven this week, and to even to read the material about what is the ministry, what is the lane, what is the purpose of the haven. We're so encouraged by that. And it's given us just like, yeah, this excitement about this is what we want. This is what we want to have there. So thank you for giving us such a real example of what it looks like. So I'm excited about this opportunity for Jennifer. I'm excited that she gets to do that and I get to continue to do what I love. And we do, as we step into that, we invite you to pray for us as we step into these new areas, seeking God, discerning what the direction is, allowing him to guide our steps. Please pray for us. We invite you, as a community, as a church, you guys support us, and we are thankful for that. If you might feel called to join us personally We need a small army to send us and keep us in the field. So we invite you to pray about that, whether you'd want to join us personally. So a part of our story that we want to share today, and we need to go through this a little quickly. let me just start by sharing a verse from Psalm 37:4. What it talks about is delighting in the Lord. And as we delight in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. And in a very real way, we understood part of, I think, God's heart in this is not that He's going to just give you anything that you might desire, but it's when those desires come from Him, He's going to give you those desires. So why don't you share about what would happen?
So for our story began when I was probably in high school. That's when the Lord started giving me the desires to move abroad. And I didn't understand it at the time. I just thought as a silly high school kid that I was just wanting to go move, get out of the U.S. and go do something different. I had an adventurous spirit, and that's all I thought it was. And that didn't necessarily happen, right? Life got in the way. And I ended up marrying Mark young at the age of 21 and was blessed with that and just kept saying to him, you know, I just still have this desire to move abroad. Can we move? Is there a possibility that you could do your job overseas? And he would say, are you kidding me? I am an accountant. I'm a controller. There is no chance. And you know when you say never, God plays with that? Like, right, never. At the time, I just thought, okay, you know, all right, that's fine. You know, I understand. He does California taxes, right? Even to move out of California to Arizona would be a major thing. He'd have to relearn everything. So we just thought, okay, maybe not. But then a year would go by, more time would go by, and I would still have this weight, just a weight on my shoulders. And it would come into my head, move abroad. Well, what does that mean? You know, and I'd pray about it, ask Mark, we'd have the talk, the same discussion, went
no.
The same weight, no. Can we do it?
No.
No. Year after year. So finally, in 2010, now we've had children, it's been a long time. We got married in 1993 is when we got married. So it's been a long time. 2010, we're sitting in Huntington Beach where we would go for the summer, and I was sitting on the sand, had kind of fallen asleep, woke up, and again, I felt just this weight on my shoulders, in my brain, on my heart. And so I just started praying. I'm like, Lord, this is ridiculous. I'm tired of this. Mark is definitely tired of this. This is becoming a bone of contention in our marriage, which is not good. So if you do not want me to have this desire, cut it. From my life, completely amputate it from my life. I don't want to ever want that desire again. You know, I want to be content. You say for us to be content. I want to be content in this, to live here. But if it's from you, please show me. So as I sat there on the sand, looking out at the beautiful ocean, Mark's playing with our three girls, and I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to throw out a fleece. I'm going to pull a guinea in here and see what happens. And I was so nervous. And I just said, okay, what's something he can do? Well, dolphins, right? You see dolphins periodically. Not every time you go to the beach, but periodically you see them out there playing. So I thought, okay, that's something he could do, you know? And I said, Lord, if it's your will that we move overseas, if this desire is from you, you please show me a school of dolphins, a little pod of dolphins, you know? And so I was sitting there and I was looking out and there were some tourists in front and they started kind of pointing. So I followed their point out over and off to the right, out in the ocean, there was a little pod of dolphins. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my heart is beating, and I'm just starting to sweat. And I'm thinking, is that really God talking to me? You know, is he talking to me personally? And I said, okay, but again, you do kind of see dolphins, you know? So maybe they were already there and I just didn't see them the first time.
Adrian, we're talking about doubt this morning.
Yeah. Where is Adrian? I wanted to bring this up. I thought, oh no, you'll hear it later. So I sat there and I said, okay, Lord, please, I'm sorry for my doubt. I'm sorry that I'm not believing that could be from you, but could you just show me one more time, just one more time? Could you make those dolphins jump up and out of the water? So SeaWorld style. And I thought, he could do that, like on command, SeaWorld style dolphins. And no just tail flapping, no just fin. Like, it's got to be big, Lord, please. Just one dolphin just jumping out of the water. And then I'll be convinced totally believe this is from you. And then I can go to Mark and say, see, look what God's doing in our lives. So a few seconds pass. And I'm looking out, kind of looking at that little pod of dolphins, and they've vanished. I don't know where they went. And then the waves started getting bigger and rolling in, and those dolphins started launching out of the water. Not just a little bit. They were launching. As the waves were cresting, they are launching themselves out of the water, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And then I am just crying. Everybody on the beach, because this is summertime. This is the middle of August. You know, everybody's there. They're standing up, pointing, taking pictures. It was a huge spectacle.
Yeah, I'd grown up surfing, and I would see dolphins almost every other time. No big deal.
Never
in my life had I seen a spectacle like this. And so I'm grabbing the kids, like, look, look, look. And I turn around, and here's my wife just bawling. And it's like, no, this is cool. Like, it's not making sense.
Good.
And so I come over. It's like, you know, here, kids, go play.
Yeah,
what's going on? And Jen started to share it. She said, Mark, that desire just came over me again. I couldn't shake it. I asked the Lord. So she explained to me what was going on. And she said, and this is what the Lord did. He's confirming that this desire is from Him to move abroad. So at that moment, I began to praise the Lord. No, actually, I was like, oh, shoot, what does this mean? Like,
I
think my chest got a little tight. I was like, uh-oh. And the other thing Jennifer said was that she goes, I don't know why, but I feel like God's given me these words, expect great things. She goes, I don't know what it means, but it's clear. And so we were dealing with that.
What does that mean?
We went
expect
home.
Expect great things, that seems so like, expect great things. Like, you can't even tell that to anybody, you know? What does that mean? And Lord, is that from you? And so
we went home. We wrestled with it a bit. We were talking to each other. The weekend passed. Sunday morning, we got ready for church. It was one of those Sundays where we just felt like, let's just sneak in the back door. So we literally slid along the back wall, took the seat, sat down, didn't want to connect with people. We just wanted to be there. And that morning, one of the early signs of how God was calling us, the sermon was on missions. And the pastor began to share, he's going through a sermon, and I kid you not, he's speaking in the middle of the sermon, and then there's a pause, an awkward pause. Not one of those normal-looking things, it was awkward, and we're thinking, uh-oh. Like, and the pastor kind of made his way out to the end of the stage, and we're thinking, ooh, what did somebody do wrong? Like,
what big news is
he just stands there, he puts his arms out, and he says, expect great things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comes back and continues on as if nothing happened.
Nothing.
Jennifer and I are sitting in the back. Jennifer's out the door because she can't compose herself. And it was at that moment that the anxiety, the tight chest, gone. So I sat there and I just said, okay, Lord, you have my attention. I will follow you wherever it is that you're calling, even though we don't quite know what this means. So that began a process where we were praying, we were fasting for about a year.
What do you want us to do with this information?
I'm looking at the clock. We got to move.
Oh, sorry. And missions was not one of those things. Missions was like, oh, no, we're not going to do missions.
Yeah.
But we went in and...
So about a year later, we finally felt like the Spirit was prompting us, like, you need to do something. And we thought, what is something? So we thought, we need to get some counsel. It took us a year. We're a little slow. So we went in. We made an appointment with Pastor Tony, one of the pastors at the church we were attending. And he was busy, so it was a week or two before we could meet with him. We were feeling anxious, like just this stirring. And that Sunday, we were going to meet with Pastor Tony. We sat through another sermon. It was, again, one of those sermons where we feel like the Holy Spirit was speaking. That message was for us. And that message was, God will do the impossible. And it was part of what we were wanting is for God to just kind of show us what it is, and then we'll step out in faith. And the sermon was specifically about, you need to step out. So we left feeling so encouraged in the Spirit that we're ready to start moving. We're ready to start acting and doing things. Let's cancel the appointment with Pastor Tony. Don't really need him anymore. No, we shouldn't do that. So we end up in Tony's office, and here comes the whole story about the dolphins and everything. Again, we were just completely dumbfounded. Pastor Tony said, you guys, he goes, that was a year ago. I remember that morning. He said, only a couple times in my life as a pastor has God given me a word for somebody. He said, that morning, God gave me those words, expect great things. And so I went to Pastor Gary and I said, there's somebody in this service that needs to hear these words this morning. You need to speak it. And Pastor Gary had the trust that this was from the Lord and spoke it. So at this point, now I'm crying. But seeing God work and continue to guide our steps through this process was amazing. And so at this point, it was, okay, how do we move abroad? Let's sell our house. We began taking steps. Again, thinking about missions, but we didn't really grow up knowing a whole lot. Europe did not, we didn't understand Europe as even a mission field at this point of our journey. And so Tony gave us that encouragement to start taking steps of faith and allow God to then guide your steps. So we did that. We began, we moved into a condo we rented for a while. We knew at that time our desire in our hearts that God was giving us was to serve missionaries. And we didn't know what that meant, but we started cold calling pastors in Italy. Hey, what's going on? Do you need help or whatever? Not as missionaries, but just thought, what's the point of going and relocating ourselves overseas if it's not to serve the mission community and the gospel and the message? You know, and so there was a point at which we were trying to figure it out. And I remember on my lunch break, I sat in my car wrestling with how do we get this figured out? And I've got my calculator out and I'm just working away. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, why aren't you asking me? So I stopped. I put my stuff down, papers and the calculator and everything, tilted my chair back, and I just spent some time in prayer. And I said, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to solve this? I don't know how to just relocate our family overseas.
I mean, Mark is literally an accounting controller. That is his title. So he wants to control it, right?
So after some time of prayer, I'm asking God, well, how do you want to do this? And I open up the word, and what do I read? But he says, sell everything. And I, no, that's not how you do this. And it was clear to me, God was saying, get rid of it. I was holding on to still pieces of my American dream. I was still holding on to certain things. We had sold the house, but we still had our dirt bikes and all these other things. God was saying, let it go. Trust me. And so I go, Jen's going to love this news, but I'm not going to tell her. I truly said to the Lord, I just said, Lord, if this is you, would you tell her? Would you lead Jennifer to this? Because I am not going to tell her, because I know she'll only be excited about it. I need to, because she's much more adventurous. So I think for the next couple days, I spent time praying just about this. And then I get an email. Yeah, Jen's found herself chopping vegetables. And I don't know why, but God speaks to her when she's chopping vegetables in the kitchen. And he says to her, you need to sell everything, let it go. And so I get this email that says, hey, Mark, don't freak out. But I'm spending time with the Lord, and I feel like he's asking us to just sell everything, let it go. And so I get that email, and I knew, there goes God. He's told her this is going to happen. And so I give her an email back and say, well, let's talk about it this weekend. And so I made her wait a few days, but as we got together on the weekend, she began to try and explain and rationalize, this is why I feel this is the Lord saying this. But she didn't know that a week earlier, God had told the same thing to me. So we reach out. What are we going to do? We gave our landlord notice. We reached out to my parents. Hey, could we move in to the little granny, conversion at their house and live there for a while? We're five people coming into a converted garage and an extra bedroom or two. And in the meantime, after my grandmother had passed away, my dad had converted this apartment into, the best I could describe it would be like a John Wayne museum. It just had all his stuff, all the things his memorabilia, all the things he loved, was just crowded in this place that wasn't ready to be lived in. And as I asked my mom, we feel like God's asking us to take a step of faith. Can we move in for maybe 6 months? She said, Mark, she goes, you're not going to believe this, but she said several days or a week ago, I went out there to the garage, and your dad was boxing everything up. And I was like, Ray, what are you doing? And he said, I don't know. I just feel like I need to clear this place out. So again, another step where we saw God's hand on guiding our steps in this process. We need to wrap up. You want to drive it home?
No, I just want to say that, yes, and through all that, we met with pastors at E.B. Free Fullerton, Chuck Swindoll's old church, and that's where we ended up coming back to. I was raised there at that church, and moving in with Mark's parents in La Mirada, and it was another 4 years before we actually committed to a mission organization, which was Reach Global, the EFCA's mission branch, and then another couple years after that we ended up moving to Budapest, Hungary. And God was so wonderful and so clear to give us everything we needed. He knows what you need. He knows what you need, even before you ask. And He was so wonderful to give me what I needed, Mark needed, to spur us on and to do, be obedient to the calling that He was giving us and placing on our heart. And I know that He will do that as well with this retreat center and the renewal center, our future. And we continue to look to Him every day with everyone that we meet, that He will show us again and guide us. And our testimony will grow, and we'll be able to tell you wonderful things that He's doing. And yeah. So thank you.
So two bits of expect great things. We had not heard of William Carey. Has anyone here? Okay. Can somebody hear? Yes. What was William Carey? He's known as the father of modern missions. He did so much in India. But there was a phrase that was coined and accredited to him. Do you know what it is? Expect great things, attempt great things. This was his message. As Jennifer and I sat long after God had given us that word, we were taking a perspectives class, just part of the training and preparing to move overseas, of God's story throughout history. We're in week whatever, chapter something, and I couldn't tell you how much those words jumped off of that page. When we look down and it says, William Carey, and it's in quotes, expect great things, attempt great things. And for us, what that was God's further confirmation that this is about missions. This is about you surrendering your pride, letting go of the things you hold on to, and trusting Him. So by faith, we continue to move forward in that understanding. He wants us to be missionaries. And I told Jen probably once or twice, I'll move. I'll do what God's asking, but not as missionaries. Not when you got to do that thing where you got to raise support and ask others to, like, whatever. No, it's like, we'll pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, right, as Americans. And so I think part of the time it took 4 years is God just being faithful to deal with the sin in our life, the pride, the do-it-yourselfness or whatever, and the lack of trust, but He's patient. So I want to share, a little bit to encourage you from a few verses. Oh, as we landed in Hungary for the very first time with our whole family and about 20 pieces of luggage, we stayed at a missionary's house. They were out of town. We had 30 days, and we were scrambling to try and find a home. And as the weeks were going on, we're starting to feel a little anxious, like we need a place. And it was kind of difficult around the area of the international school because there a lot of missionaries, mission organizations are coming to this area of Budapest. Jen finally finds a home online, and she's like, Mark, this is in our price range. It's like, it seems too good to be true. And I'm like, we have to chase down everything. So called the realtor. We went to this house that ended up being the house that we've lived in for the 4.5 years. As we walk into this house, the downstairs tile that surrounds the room are these dolphins jumping out of the water. This is God's sense of humor, but also what we needed. As we landed in Hungary, I got to be honest, there was moments of going, what the heck did we just do? Like, what's going on with our family? Like, what is God doing? There's some doubt. But God's faithfulness to give us that encouragement. As we walked upstairs, it was ugly and a horrible little lamp, but there was a lamp with these dolphins jumping out of the water. God's confirmation to tell us, I'm here with you. I'm walking with you. This is where I've called you to be. So a couple verses real quick. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 16, 9. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. Be encouraged by that. God knows what tomorrow holds for you. He knows what you're dealing with today. You may be in celebration, you may be in pain. God will establish your steps in the midst of what our life, what's going on in our lives. So I'm not going to probably teach anything that you probably don't already know, but let me read from God's word, and I pray and I hope that it'll teach you. This isn't something you probably haven't heard before, but ask the Holy Spirit to tell you something. As I share from John 15, I feel like when God says the same word again and again and again, there's a, okay, we should pay attention. The word here is abide. Some definitions of abide is to remain, to continue, to dwell, or to reside. Abiding involves maintaining that special relationship with the Savior in our daily life. Where are my glasses? John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither you unless you abide in me. These are Jesus' words to the disciples. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. God doesn't ask us to produce the fruit. What he calls us to do is to be the kind of branch for him to produce that fruit from. So my encouragement to you all this morning is that we would remember this, that we would feel encouraged by this testimony from us today, by your testimony that others will hear as you share, and that as you abide, that he would abide in you, that God will produce that fruit. And sometimes that's remaining actively still as we allow Jesus to transform us. And sometimes he's going to direct our steps in ways that we wouldn't imagine. So thank you for letting us share this morning with you. If you have questions, please come and talk to us after the service. But if I can close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. We are grateful for the sacrifice, the redemptive story of your Son Jesus, our Savior, that has died, conquered death, and rose again, that we may have full life, that we might be your disciple, that we might go to make disciples of all nations. And Lord, that begins here in Cayucas, in California, throughout the U.S. and around the world. Lord, I pray that you would continue as your word says, and as we hold on to expectantly, that you would guide our steps. You would establish, as we plan our ways, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, Lord, as we step out in faith, trusting in you, believing that your Son is with us, that we have your Spirit inside of us, all to the glory of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray for your blessing upon the group here this morning. Lord, may they powerfully proclaim the name of Jesus throughout this area. May their witness and testimony and the praise on their lips of their Savior bring glory to your name. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, God is also at work in us. So I'm going to give you an assignment. How many of you are going to eat when you leave this place? Wow, I guess we should have a prayer and fasting next door for the rest of you. I imagine most of you sometime in the next hour or two will sit down at a meal with somebody. If it's with yourself, you have this conversation with the Lord. If it's with somebody else, this is my encouragement. Think back and share some point in your life where God has clearly directed your steps, and rejoice in his faithful leading in your life as well. And let that spur us on to see the work of God in us and around us. Thank you to those of you in our virtual service. We're glad that you've joined us. If you want to communicate with us, you've got cards. I'll hang out up here at the front. Maybe Mark and Jen will go. Why don't you guys go ahead and go to the back so you can catch people as they come out. Those of you online, feel free to reach out to us through the website. And let's go out and watch God do great things in us and through us this week. Have a good one.